I've got the green one in my hand. Okay, how about now? Excellent. So, Mr. Mayor, let me introduce you to the students. Here's sixth grade over here. Wave at the mayor, sixth grade. All right, and then behind them would be seventh and eighth. Freshmen, where are you guys at? Freshmen in the back. And then are we moving up with sophomores, juniors? And then if you're a senior, if you'd stand up. All right, so this is our senior class right here. And we just want to take a few minutes. Sit down, seniors. Thanks so much. You've lived in Fayetteville all your life?
Yes, sir. Born and raised.
Okay. And when did you ever think about first becoming a mayor? How'd that kind of talk us through that idea? I mean, you don't wake up a high school senior thinking about becoming the mayor. How'd that work?
No, at least I didn't. Good morning, everybody. How's everyone? Thank you, Pastor. Well, you know, politics was kind of something that came about. I felt the Lord gave that to me in the latter stages of my, you know, I guess probably around in my 40s, or in my late 30s, beginning of my 40s. I felt a need that I wanted to do more for my community. I'm born and raised in Fayetteville. I went to E. Smith High School. I have a family business here that I was operating for about 15 to 20 years. And I just saw the need for my community, and I wanted to contribute and wanted to do more. So I started off and ran as a council member, and I served on the city council as a representative for my district for about 4 years, and then last year ran for mayor.
You mentioned graduating from high school. What year was that, and then where'd you go to school?
Graduated in 1991 from E. Smith.
And then after that, what'd you do?
Went off to mortuary school in Richmond, Virginia, and got my license to be a licensed funeral director, embalmer, which is what I do, you know, primarily. And then went to Fayetteville State, and I have a degree in sociology.
At Fayetteville State?
Yes, sir.
Right. And then you're doing the business, and then you started working as a city councilman. You ran. Tell the students what a city council person does.
Well, in the city is broken down into nine areas or nine districts, and each district elects a representative. Each district or each area you all live, if you live in the city limits, you belong to a district, and there are about 12 to 15,000 people that a council member represents. And what we do is we make policy and decisions for the city, but we try to make improvements and better the quality of life in our districts. So I represented District 3, which was over around the area that E. Smith is in, and Country Club in northern Fayetteville. And I was that representative for about 4 years. And basically over that period of time, we figure how to fund the police departments, the fire departments. We make sure that your parks are intact, that your sanitation and garbage pickup works like it's supposed to. So anything that pertains to your quality of living is what the city council does.
What would you say the biggest responsibility of the city council is? If you look back at your 4 years that you served, what would you think the most important thing that the council did for the city of Fayetteville?
Wow. It's a lot that I think we've done, but over the last 4 years, I can proudly say that we've made strides to try to make Fayetteville a more attractive place to live in. You know, this being my hometown, I'm saddened when people say, you know, they make derogatory remarks about it. They say, hey, crime's too high. Vietnam, there's not a lot to do. You know, I have three daughters, and they constantly tell me that when they go to college, they're not going to return to their hometown. But now they're talking about returning after they graduate school. And so that's encouraging to me. And as these seniors that stood up, we want to make sure that you consider living here in your city, and that you contribute. You know, you go out and get educated, and you bring those talents back here. But I would say over the last 4 years, we've made strides in getting our arms around changing the perception about what Fayetteville is. It's a great place to live. It's a diverse community, just like this room is today. I see it's a big melting pot for people from a lot of places. And it's really a great city, and we have made significant improvements to the downtown area. We worked on bringing a baseball stadium and other, you know, entertaining.
Yeah, you mentioned that baseball stadium. Tell us about what that is and when we can expect to see a pitch thrown in that thing.
Yeah, so April of next year, the first game will happen. It will be preceded. And the Houston Astros is the team that we've partnered with. They just won the World Series. So they will have one of their teams here in Fayetteville. but it'll be they'll have a couple of concerts that'll kick off the stadium initiation. One was J. Cole, and they had another artist that they were still negotiating. So it will be a $35 million stadium built in downtown Fayetteville that will not only house baseball games, but it will also convert to football, soccer, and any outdoor event space. And so I'm really excited about that. There are a lot of other things that will be happening in and around it. And so next year you'll see a big change in your city, and there'll be a lot more options of things to do and places to go.
Yeah, and that's located, is it behind Prince Charles Hotel? Is that, give us a visual orientation where it's going to be.
So, our downtown area is centered by the Market House, and there are four streets. And so Hay Street is the street that the baseball stadium will be built on. And right now it's a older hotel that was built in the 1920s that's been kind of vacant for the last 5 to 7 years, called the Prince Charles. There's a group that purchased that hotel, and they're redoing it as well as building another hotel. And so they're going to construct a building which will actually be the highest building in downtown Fayetteville, and it'll change our skyline. So if many of you have been to other places and see kind of how downtowns look with tall buildings and things, we're starting to move in that direction. And so I'm excited about the new construction that will take place. But right near the Prince Charles Hotel on Hay Street, near the train station, there's an area of land the city owns is where the stadium will go.
Excellent. Mr. Mayor, you're obviously successful in lots of different ways. Three daughters, married, a business. You've become the second black male of our mayor of our city. Talk to us about the challenges that you've faced over the last 20 years of being an adult.
Well, you know, there are many obstacles out there, but we've got to make a decision that we make our, you know, once you set a goal in life that you're going to be productive and that you're not going to allow anything to hinder you from that. And so as a young black male growing up here, I grew up in the Murchison Road area, which has a lot of challenges. And I faced some of the same challenges that our young males do today. And that is, you can make wrong decisions. You can hang around with people that are not thinking in the same direction that you are. But you've got to make sure that you always stay focused on it. You know, and I will attribute everything that I have going on in my life to a praying mother and grandmother and a strong faith. I know that God is the reason why I am where I am today. At 21 years old, I took over my family's business. At 26, I purchased it from them with a loan through the SBA. And at 28, I bought another funeral home in Lumberton. And so God did a lot of amazing things for me early. And that was kind of the urge that made it where I wanted to give back. And so around 38 or 39, I felt the unction that life was more than just taking care of me and my immediate family. It was about contributing to the community that helped me get to where I am. So I would say to any young people today, your limitations are only what you think that they are. So in other words, everything that you think you can do is certainly possible. You just got to stay focused, and you make sure that you make the right steps and the right decisions to move your life in the direction that you want it to go. So whether you want to be an entertainer, an athlete, a business person, a mayor, a governor, president, all of that is within your grasp. All you have to do is just stay focused and do the things that it takes to get there, because it's about preparation and opportunity, that you have to be prepared so when the opportunity comes that you're ready for it.
How important is that college degree?
A college degree is vital, and education is the single most effective equalizer to everyone. And so anything, you know, there are barriers. Now, certainly you can be an exception to the rule without an education, but it just makes it 2 and 3 and 10 times as hard than if you had an education. And so you make sure that you stay in school, that you further your education, you learn as much as you can. College degrees at one time guaranteed certain things, and now the world has become more competitive. And so now you have to get post-college degrees like master's and doctorate degrees. But it's not all about the degrees necessarily. That doesn't guarantee you a certain path, but it certainly gives you more tools in your toolbox to work with. And I think that make sure that you perform well in school. Yeah.
Tell us what you think, and this is kind of a tough question, but tell us what you think the challenges young black males face over others. We hear white privilege. We know that Asians across the board are really doing well. I mean, we can't ignore the numbers. They graduate a higher level of college. Their incomes are higher than both combined, whites and blacks. Tell us, these black young males who are getting ready to graduate, what are the challenges that they're going to face?
Well, to be real with you, you have, and this is not any reflection on, any derogative reflection on society, but society, there's a certain imagery that will be portrayed by a lot of people before they get to know who you are, and that is because of statistics. And so as a young black male, you really have to perform twice the level of others, okay? And that's just the realities of it, that there are certain things that you can't do that will strengthen some of those perceptions that they have of you. And so you have to make sure that you study twice as hard, that you perform twice as good. And sometimes, you know, you will face different obstacles that others, you know, as you said, the other majority races or even some of the other races will not face. And so you have to learn how to push through that. As the black race in general, you know, we have issues that we need to deal with. You know, family structure. We have single parent homes. We have parents that are not generationally educated. You know, a lot of times that is a big difference, that sometimes we're the first to go to college in our families or the first to graduate high school. And that makes a difference because your foundation is not as strong as those whose parents are college educated. And so you're already starting at a step behind. So you have to really perform hard. You have to stay focused, and you have to keep your mind and persevere through all circumstances. And I know you can do it. And that's not just targeted to black males. That's any young man. Any young man in this society, in today's society, you have certain challenges that are before you. Yeah.
So in your lifetime, you saw our first black president of the United States. And kind of seems like you've been an adult for two decades. Have you seen a movement in racism? Are we less, more? Where are we at in the last? Are we making progress?
I'm encouraged by where we are. We have our setbacks, and you know, unfortunately, we saw over the last couple of years, you know, from a political standpoint, we saw where people basically dug into their ideologies or their beliefs, which separated us by race. Okay, and so. We have to overcome that because at the end of the day, we're all people, we're all God's people, and we're all one country and one nation. And even on a local level with my race, I wanted to make sure that it did not break down to racial lines, even though that's the easiest for us to do. You know, we tend to congregate with those that we're most comfortable with, but you have to break beyond what's comfortable and to talk about the tough things like you're doing today, because usually our perceptions is what we hear, you know, our parents, grandparents, that's what they give us. And so we have a certain mindset. But really, when I get to know you and you get to know me, we have a lot more in common than we are different. And so I think that the next generation, I am very, very hopeful that we have a bright future, because they're not bringing some of that perception into that next generation. You know, my daughter, they associate with people of different races and faiths even. And I'm encouraged by that. And so it's not as bad as it was. So
talk to us about where those daughters are.
I have one daughter that is finishing up a master's degree in Mississippi at Mississippi College. She's getting a master's of medical science and wants to go to dental school, East Carolina or UNC. And so I'm thankful that she's coming back closer to home, but she graduates in August of the summer. I have another daughter that's a junior at Howard University in D.C., and she is a junior, and she will graduate next year. And she's still trying to figure out what the next step is, but I hope she gets it figured out pretty soon. And I have a 13-year-old that is in the eighth grade at Reed Ross, and so I'm thankful, and God has blessed me with some wonderful children, and, you know, I want to make the city a place that they can be proud of.
How long have you been married?
Well, I was married for 20 years, and my children's mother and I just finalized our you know, divorce, unfortunately, but that's the way, you know, that's the way life is at times. But, you know, we have a wonderful relationship, co-parenting our daughters, and we both raised them to know the values of faith. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Hey, is there a faculty member out there that has a question? I've got a couple more that are in my mind, but I want to give you guys an opportunity. If there's a faculty member out there, be thinking for just a minute. Mr. Mayor, I noticed that you are just impeccably dressed. Can you talk to us about, do you think that's important, and how does that relate to your success?
Well, I don't know about impeccable dress. You know, I try to get, I have a affinity for the socks. I like different color socks, and so I didn't know we would be sitting in front of everyone today, but that is something that I like to wear. But I think that it is important that you carry yourself in a way because as people, we see you and we develop an opinion even before we talk to you. And so it's important that you're neat so that you'll be taken seriously, particularly with the office of mayor. Has nothing to do with me, but the office has a certain prestige and expectation, and I try to carry myself in a way that fits that.
Yeah. Faculty member out there, anybody? That's Robbie May. He teaches our science.
Sorry, I thought it was loud, but now I'm louder. So the sports stadium downtown with baseball, football, is the city looking to get all those teams, like city-based teams for that, more than we already have?
Well, we're open to anything. We made sure that the stadium could be converted to football and soccer. And so right now minor league baseball is a lot more organized and they're expanding a lot faster than some of the other sports, but we have spoken to some of the minor league soccer folks, but I don't know if the market share here dictates, you know, the investment that they'll make. Houston Astros made a significant investment to the city and have agreed to stay here for at least 30 years. So, you know, right now baseball is leading the way, but I'm certainly hopeful that some of the football or some of the other sports will follow.
How long is the term for the mayor?
We operate on 2-year terms. So every 2 years, we have to run for re-election.
Yeah, and we pay you just a ton of money to be the mayor, right?
That is
not true.
The biggest misnomer out there. But yeah, no, you definitely can't do it for the money. As a council member, I think my pay was about $16,000 or $7.50 an hour. So about as much as you make at McDonald's. So I got a little raise as mayor. It's about $30,000, so I guess maybe $9.50 an hour, yeah.
So you're serving as our mayor, and you have to keep your business going because you can't live on $30,000 a year.
I can't pay two college tuitions and pay any bills with $9.50 an hour, for
right,
sure.
Right.
So, yeah.
So how do you divide your time up?
You try to be very, you know, time is the most precious asset. We can't get it back. And so I try to make sure that I spend it in a productive way. But I also have to make sure that I put time in there for myself and for my family. And that is the part that you have to balance. I think life's a balance. And there's always people that demand your time. But sometimes you just have to. And I actually calendar appointments with myself so that the office will see that time is taken. Yes, sir.
So you actually have on your calendar time that's blocked off so that it doesn't get filled so that you can take care of yourself.
It's called wellness time. I do it Tuesdays and Thursdays from 7 to about 10.
Wellness time.
Yeah. And so that will include any.
Now, none of you are at that point in your life yet, okay? Just that you need wellness time yet. But they take it still? All right, is there another faculty member? All right, all the way in the back, that's Jamie Stiles, and she teaches math. I'll repeat the question. Okay, they're going to deliver a mic to you. Great.
So as far as things that you're doing to make the city a nicer place, besides just the baseball, what other plans are in the works or are you thinking of that could make people want to stay or come back?
Right, thanks. So we are also adding, we passed a parks bond referendum, or the citizens did, last year, the end of 2016, I think, $35 million. So we are making some investments in our parks and amenities here. We have I'm really excited about a river park or some type of water feature. We're still looking at working through that. But we have a tremendous asset with the river here. We're one of the few cities that don't utilize our river to our advantage. And so a lot of times in the summer times, you know, a lot of families in the city travel elsewhere to go to a Great Wolf Lodge or somewhere like that. And so we're looking and exploring that. We have about $5 or $6 million out of that bond package that's allocated for that. And so hopefully we're making some strides to make some improvements there. We're also looking to make the city more connected. That is one of the things that I would like to see. And what I mean by that is that if you go to a lot of communities, people ride bikes and they walk and they utilize, you know, mobility, especially on a pretty day. Not today so much, but on one of these 70, 80 degree days at the end of the day or after school, you know, people like to be able to traverse and move around through your city. So we're expanding the sidewalks and connectivity of our city. I am working to try to bring youth internships here for some of the young people to find work, you know, and so basically it would allow them to have some work experience. It allow companies to become familiar with them to have an opportunity to work and earn some additional money during the summertime. We're working hard at trying to enhance some of that. And then finally, I want to hear from the millennial generation. I want them to be a part of the policy making. And so, you know, that would mean that there are some things that me and the other council members are not going to be able to figure out without your help. And so, well, I call it millennial, but I mean the folks that are in this room, plus folks that are a little older than you, we need to hear from you. We need to know what it is that you want to see in the city of Fayetteville. And you have a forward, aggressive thinking council, and now would be the time to get involved. So,
I see a hand. That's Carrie Wagon. She teaches history for us.
What's the biggest difference going from a council member to becoming mayor?
That's a great question. So, initially, as a council member, you know, you represented a district, and so the things that you advocated for were more based on your district, and then. The last 2 years of my being a council member, I was the mayor pro tem, or kind of the vice mayor, and so I had more of a leadership role to where I thought more broadly about what impacted the city, and so I had to deal with council members of other districts, and we worked on issues that were better or that pertained to the whole city. As mayor, it's a lot different from the perspective that you represent everyone. And so now the interests of the entire city. So I may have a district out in West Fayetteville that has concerns about one thing, and the inner city district that needs revitalization that has concerns about another, and you just have to balance that representation. The other thing is that I am the spokesperson for the city council. So now instead of receiving a call from the media once a month, it's probably once a week. And so they want to know what you think about this and what you think about that. And so it's just a lot more in touch with everyone. Yeah.
When the media calls you, do they call you or a secretary sort of situation? And obviously some of these questions might blindside you. What's your response to them and how fast do you have to get back to them if it's something you haven't solidified an answer, opinion, or a viewpoint on?
Right. So you learn to first. That's a great point. You ask when's your deadline, It behooves you to give them some, at least indirect access, because if they call a secretary after hours and you don't receive the message, then the comment is,
the you know, no response from the mayor, or the mayor didn't return our calls or something. So all the media has some channel to get in touch with me. If it's a subject that I'm not as familiar with, I may refer it to the legal department or whatever department it is that, that may have a little more insight to the question. But that's a great, great point.
All right, I have a tougher one for you.
Uh-oh.
The city government is funded primarily through local business owners and property owners. Is that true?
Yes, sir.
So you're now representing all these districts in your thought process, your mindset. And we know that there's a variance in what people pay for taxes depending on what part of the city they live. Some are paying a lot more than others. Is that also...
Yes.
How do you balance that with the reality that there are, you know, certain parts of our city, whether it be Haymont or King's Grant or these other parts that, you know, they pay substantially more taxes than some of the other districts that you alluded to earlier? How does the council work through that?
Well, that's difficult because, you know, everyone wants to receive representation. So whether you pay $100 in taxes or you pay $1,000 in taxes, you feel that you have representatives that you want to represent you. So we balance that, and you try not to prioritize it solely based on where the bulk of your dollars are coming from. Now, we are able to make some distinction, or in my mind, between business and personal. Mm-hmm. Businesses pay a little bit more. We want to encourage more businesses. Therefore, when the individuals, you know, the regular citizens, non-corporate citizens, I want their taxes to go down so that it's a comfortable place to live. They have a good quality of life. They have money to spend on other things other than taxes. But taxes keep the government running. We need it to pay for all those things we started the conversation out with: police, fire, parks, your trash pickup, the streets. We have to be, you know, we have to be mindful of it. You know, one of the approaches that I wanted to use is that we have a lot of people that come into our area that don't live here and don't pay any taxes. They come in for Christmas. They come in through opportunities with the military. And so we need to find a way to capture some of their contribution like other communities. Other communities are doing very well at that. And therefore, we can take some of the burden off our local people that actually live here. Yeah.
So would homes on Fort Bragg be an example of that?
Well, I wasn't necessarily speaking of that. I may say that if we have folks that are coming in to coming in for some short stay period, you know, contractors or people that come in to do a service and mm-hmm. then they leave,
right.
Sure, they contribute some through sales tax. When they buy goods or they buy food, they contribute some. But right now, even on the food tax, we're one of the few cities that don't receive anything from that. The county captures that. And so those are some of the things that I'm trying to negotiate so that we can take some burden off of the mothers and fathers of these young people. Yeah.
All right, how about a senior? Is there a senior that has a question? Nope, there are no seniors. How about juniors? Any juniors that have a question for the mayor? All right, Stephen. One thing you could have done different.
Great question. High school, I was kind of, you know, laid back in my own space. Didn't really dedicate the time to my studies. I got a lot more serious about it in college, and I think if I would have had a higher GPA in high school, that I would have received more in terms of scholarships and assistance. So that's why I say these are vital years for you, and just make the best of them. And you know, in high school, I you know, made some decisions that I wasn't proud of, and you never think that as a 15 or 16-year-old that some of the things that you do, you'll be talking about it when you're in your late 30s or early 40s. But life decisions follow you, and so just make sure that you make the right ones as best you can.
Yep. All right. Is there another junior that has a question? Can we circle back to the young males who seem to be struggling the most in our society? If we look at numbers, females are graduating from college at a higher percentage than males. females are going to overtake males in earnings in particular occupations real soon. What's happening with young males today, and what are our struggles with them?
We're being distracted. As simple as I can say it, we're being distracted by other things that are taking us off of focus. I talked to a college recruiter for Bethune-Cookman College in Atlanta, who basically said that 1 out of 10 of their incoming class was a male. And so 90% of this previous year's incoming class were females. And that's significant because if that trend carries across all of our colleges, like you said, Pastor, it won't be long before the amount of males with college degrees goes down and their income level goes down with it and their quality of life goes down with it. And so that is a very disturbing trend. I think that, you know, as boys, we tend to be a lot more adventurous of things. We try things. We do things that you know, push the envelope a little bit. And so we've got to be careful that we are not distracted by those decisions.
Do you think that there are, you mentioned their individual quality of life. You talked about these young men out here, many of which will not finish with a college degree. And we would think that they would, but the reality is we know that many of them are not going to. You mentioned their quality of life. Are there any consequences beyond just them individually? Are there, because you earlier talked about generational situations in which we talked about, are some of these students the first one that will get a college degree, or do their mom and dad have a college degree? What's the difference between those two families?
Yeah, I mean, it's huge because if your parents have a college degree, then more likely than not, they have a good job and you have more of a stable home environment that they understand the importance of study habits, and so they push you to do your homework. They're able to provide for you versus having to work 2 or 3 jobs and you never see them because they're trying to make ends meet. And so education is a big piece to that equation. And if that is the lifestyle that you're raised on, that you pretty much spend a lot of time with yourself and your siblings, there's no supervision, and you kind of get into things that you shouldn't. And so now you have society being your parent, which is significant because at some point society didn't have the same compassion that your mother has. You break the law, there's consequences. And so now you have a legal issue. And so now your trajectory, your path is headed in the wrong direction. And it's very easy that, you know, a lot of times some of these folks are single parents. And so there is no father. There is no second parent. There's no second form of income. And you end up in this cycle. And so if your parents are educated, then they emphasize that for you, and then you become educated. If not, then as you start your family, because you've gotten in trouble, so now it's difficult for you to finish school, it's difficult for you to get a job, and so now you're in the same low-income producing situation, and then you start a family. And so the cycle just continues to trend over and over again, and it's very difficult to break until someone breaks through that and shatters that. Fayetteville State has a first-generation program where they are able to do certain things for kids that you are the first generation to hopefully reverse that trend. But it's very easy to get into that cycle. Yeah.
How about now? Do we have a young male that has a question now of the mayor? We've talked a lot about success. We've talked about what he did, focus. Anybody thinking now about what he said and what your future looks like and want to follow up with a question? I guess they're all good to go. I guess.
Well, that's a blessing. That's a blessing. Yes,
that's
sir.
Awesome. Very good. Yep. Let me just follow up with the question that way, the recording, because there's watch on live webcast. So the question was Cumberland County schools, the future of them, and public schools and private schools in conjunction. Yep.
Well, I think we have a good school system, and I don't want to disparage that. Can we improve our school systems? Absolutely. As a mayor, it is very difficult for me to attract industry without having a good school structure, because any company, that's one of the first things they look for is the quality of your school system. We have a great school system. They're making some strides to make some changes to improve that. The challenge that we have, not just Cumberland County, but statewide, is that the funding is drying up that takes care of those schools. And so we are trying to be more creative on a city level. Schools are not a city of Fayetteville function. So the state gives us our duties, and the county takes care of schools and health and human services. But I feel that I can't have a successful city unless my residents attend successful schools. And so we have some partnerships now. For instance, the red light cameras that we put up a couple of years ago, they generate, you know, almost $2 million a year in fines. That money goes to the schools. So hopefully they can take that and make some improvements and some strides, and we're trying to work with them to do that. One of the things that I would like to do is to partner with them on some after-school care. And so take the young person that I just described that Pastor was talking about, whose parents are working two jobs. They never see their parents. They have no one to help them with their homework, so they have to be very, very disciplined to push through that circumstance. If there's an after-school care program in a local rec center or in your neighborhood that the city partners with, that we put retired teachers in there, we put, you know, Sunday school teachers or people that want to work after they get off of work in the school systems, those educators can now help that young man or woman be more equipped to be successful in spite of his situation. And so I think that there are things that we can do to kind of strengthen that.
Our head of school has a question.
Right. So just to follow that, every year the city receives a portion or receives money, and the county receives money based on the value of your home. OK. And so what he's saying is that it's very important that those values stay up, because if they go down, then the amount of money that we can pay for those things go down with it. 50% of the county's dollars go to schools. OK. And so they're putting half of everything they receive into the school systems. And we've got to make sure that that amount is up. In addition to keeping values up and taking care of neighborhoods, so when you see things taking place in your neighborhood, it's important that you let others know so that we can stay on that. So if you see abandoned houses and you see people vandalizing homes, that pulls down the property values of your home and everything in and around it. And so in addition to keeping our values up and revitalizing and strengthening our neighborhoods, we've got to bring more industry in. You know, if we get one company that comes in and builds a $100 million facility like Campbell Soup and DHL announced that they're going to build a $140 million plant in the city, that's a lot of tax money that will come in every year. And so that goes to the schools and to those services that we talked about. Right, good question.
You want to know how local government's going to help with our
national?
Okay.
Short of advocating, right? And so all of our national representatives, just like we talked about before, that on a local level, they're districts. As a mayor, I represent all the districts. Nationally, we have congressmen and senators that represent the city of Fayetteville. It's 200,000 votes in this city right here. And so we can advocate for things and policies that make sense. Short of that, because that's not our function, we can't make them do anything. But what we can do is we can encourage them and let them know what our citizens think. So I can go to Senator Tillis, who represents this area on a national level, and say, hey, I was in Berean Baptist Church, and a young lady said that we need to get our national debt under control. What do you think about that? And so those are the kinds of things that we can do. Yep.
Mr. Mayor, social activism is a very trendy thing right now among youth, especially college age. There doesn't seem to be a lot necessarily differentiation between what is positive social activism and what is destructive social activism. Could you draw a line for our young minds here that are wanting to be trendy on social media, hashtag SJW, whatever, and give an idea that there's a difference between positive and negative social justice campaigns?
Oh, yeah. Well, so certainly there's nothing wrong with believing in a movement and participating, because that's what got me participating. I believed that I wanted a better community, and so I wanted to participate. But it's very important that you stand for the right things. And so the trends that he's discussing, there's some positive ones out here about school violence. Everybody's for that we need to make changes to. We can't continue to have our young people to learn in an environment that they're terrified in. But there are some other folks with other agendas that tag on to that, to that movement and to that energy, and they will utilize people and their emotions to get their agendas across that are not positive. And so we need to make sure that social media is a tremendous tool. It takes everything that you say and magnifies it, you know, thousands and thousands of times. And the other thing about it is, as we were talking about earlier, things that you do in your 20s and in your teens, you may come back to see and hear that, especially with social media, because once you put it out there, it's out there forever and ever. And so imagine getting a job interview and they catch you being a young activist at 15 that you passionately think that that's what you believe in. But at 30, when you're applying for a job, $100,000 career opportunity, someone is playing your words at 15 back before you, and it cost you that job. And so you've got to just think about the consequences of your words. And social media makes you really be very, very careful about the things that you say and things that you do.
Yes, Bright, you get the last question. The community, is that the word you're using?
No, competitiveness.
Oh, competitiveness. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I think that, you know, we are the 108th largest city in the country. I mean, we are the fifth in the city, in the state. So, you know, at 200,000, we're right at the brink of becoming, you know, a larger city, and not a town or not a smaller city. And so we have to make sure the world knows what it is that our assets are. We have the largest military base in the country as our neighbor. We have, you know, 7,000 troops or 7,000 folks retire and come out of the military every year. That's a tremendous workforce for any company. So I think that our competitiveness, we have to, one of the things that I've pushed hard is that we start to rebrand our messaging. You know, as my business, I have to rebrand and tell people what it is that I have to offer, or no one knows it. And so if I'm not out promoting it, I'm waiting on them to find me. And so I think the difference that we have to do is we have to promote our good attributes. You know, we have to show that we're making improvements to our parks. We're building downtown stadiums. We're working with our youth, and we have the military as our neighbors. And we have 7,000 active veteran workers available for your pleasure. And so I think that we just have to do a little bit more of that. Good question. Yep.
All right. Well, I'm going to pray for you, and
yes, sir.
And
I need that.
Close out our time. Lord God Almighty, we thank you so much for the mayor and his commitment to serve the city of Fayetteville. And we pray, God, that you would give him wisdom beyond his years, beyond his experience, beyond his education, wisdom that can only come from you. We thank you, Lord, for the way he gave you credit, glory, for the decisions he made as a young man and the opportunities that you provided him. And I pray, God, that you would sustain him and that you would bless him in proportion to the degree to which he faithfully seeks you and strives to serve you.
I pray, God, that there would be young men in this auditorium that would be inspired to achieve excellence. And we know, God, that excellence glorifies you. And so we pray, God, that one or two young males would contemplate the significance of what was said today and would give some changes to the course of action that they are going on, the way they manage their time, the way they take seriously their studies, their goals for GPA to enter into college, and those things that are necessary to achieve degrees of success from a pragmatic perspective. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you very much, students.